Sam's efforts were not in vain this morning. I remember to push the button. We're glad that you're here. We, as Brian mentioned, have those who are visiting with us, and we're grateful for your presence. We are encouraged by your presence, and we invite you to come back and to be with us at whatever opportunity you may have to be with us in the future. And we appreciate very much the fact that you're here this morning, and hope the service has been beneficial to you. I want to commend the guys who are teaching and ladies who are teaching the Bible classes right now. We're in some, what I consider to be some very difficult material, because it's not material we're familiar with. As a teacher, a lot of times you are presented with material you understand and know, and makes it fairly easy for you to stand in front of a group and teach it. But when you start getting into Ezekiel, that's a different story. And I think Fried is to be commended for the preparatory work he has put into that, and the teachers for the work that they're doing. And seems to me they're doing a pretty good job, and we're benefiting, I think, from that, and that's a wonderful thing. I want to tell you that tonight, I would like, if you have the opportunity to be here, it's probably been several years that many of you, or several of you at least, of the women have asked me to present a lesson on the covering, and I'm going to do that tonight, if I don't chicken out. But I would encourage you to be here if you have an interest in that subject. It'll just be basically a textual breakdown where we go through the passage and look at what is there and try to come to some conviction and conclusion on what Paul is writing as he writes to the church at Corinth. So if you have the opportunity to be here tonight, I hope that you will. I'm not planning to open it up for questions tonight, but what I will tell you, and I've done this in the past, if you have questions, if you would write those down either during the lesson tonight or after the lesson, and if you'll get those to me, if there are enough of them, I will try to get another, basically a follow-up lesson together where we try to address some of the questions that you may have as we approach that subject. I don't want it to be where Bruce gets in the pulpit and sheds his view on that thing, and then there's no opportunity for any kind of discussion on it. I don't want that at all. But at the same time, I think with the length of material that will be presented tonight, it will be hard for us to try to deal with any questions. So if you would be prepared for that, and be back tonight at 5 o'clock as we will be studying 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 2 through 16 together tonight. From the time we're very young, we're taught about God, and it starts out as a very basic concept that progresses and over the course of time hopefully matures and develops as we learn more about who He is and what He is. And I think as we look at God, and we look at our knowledge of God and our understanding of God and of the things that He has laid down for us, I think we see certain stepping stones, as it were, that as we continue and as we grow and develop, that we will hit as we go along life's way. Now, what I'm going to present this morning are some of what I feel are very basic stepping stones, as it were, that we achieve as we come to a greater knowledge and a greater understanding of God and of His Word. But what I want you to think about as we go through the lesson this morning is to ask yourself, where am I in this process? Because as I look out over this audience, there are some who are at one point, and there are some who are at another point, and there's some who, as I look at you, don't seem to have taken any steps whatsoever, and that is cause for concern, especially if you're one who claims to know that there's a God and to understand that He is alive and that He is someone that we need to pay attention to. Our knowledge of God begins to mature. We understand more and more about Him. What are the things that we learn and the things that we do going to lead us to? And I hope that you'll think along with me this morning as we try to study this idea together. As we come to know more and more about God, and we come to a greater faith in Him and an understanding of who He is, one of the things that I think we will see is that we will come to a point where we appreciate His Word more and we respect His Word more. I want you to turn with me to just a couple of passages in the book of Psalms. Go with me, first of all, to the 19th Psalm. These are passages that are familiar to us. They're passages that undoubtedly we've read before. But at the same time, they make the point about God's Word. And for a person who comes to understand God and who comes to a point where they believe in God, His Word is going to be very important to them. I want you to look at this. Psalm 19, as we look beginning in verse 7. We'll read down through verse 11. David writes, listen to this. He says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. As David thinks about the Word of God, and he thinks about the commandments of God, he points out some very specific things. And he talks about how wonderful that is and how precious that is. And you can see as David is one who fears God and who loves God and is coming to a greater and greater maturing relationship with God, he appreciates the Word of God and the law of the Lord and all of the things that it provides to him. I want you to go to the 119th Psalm, if you would. In Psalm 119, we're just going to select a few verses from this psalm. We're going to begin reading in verse 97, and these are some similar words here as we read beginning in verse 97. Psalm 119, beginning in verse 97. The writer says, "Oh, how I love your law! It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgment, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." The idea that is pictured for us as we come to a greater relationship with God is that as we look into His Word, we see the path that we are to take through life. We look into His Word and we see that as we come to a greater respect for it and a greater understanding of it and a greater love for His Word, we'll begin to obey His Word and we'll begin to follow His Word. And when we come to those decisions in life that we have to make, instead of making them on our own, we make them as we're guided by His Word. Concerned about what it says and concerned about the things that are contained within it. And so as we consider ourselves and we realize that as we grow and mature in Jesus Christ and in our relationship with God, one of the things that must happen is we must come to a greater appreciation for the Word of God. We'll come to a point where we respect it. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it talks about the power of the Word of God and the things that it can do and the amazing power that it can have in my life to cause me to change. And those are things that we must come to understand. The fact that it is God's Word. It is my only source of divine inspiration and divine direction as I go through this life. I can compile all the books that men have written that talk about life and talk about the way I should treat my spouse and the way I should treat my children and the way I should treat employees or my employer. I can compile all the wisdom of man and not have contained within all of those books the things that are contained right here. And too many times we are compiling those books. And we are gathering that information. And we find ourselves focusing on it and reading it when really where we need to be going is right here. We have divine direction laid out before us. May we not look at that and shun it. But rather may we accept it and put it into place within our lives. As we come to a greater respect for His Word, we will come to a point where we don't question His Word. We realize it's the Word of God. And while I may not understand it 100% or completely the things that may be asked of me to do, I don't question it because it's God's Word. And God's Word is what stands. And God's Word is the thing by which I must abide. And as I live my life, I'm going to pattern it after God's Word. There's one thing I'm a little concerned about, and I want to point this out very briefly to you as we think about this point, as we think about God's Word. I'm afraid that too many times, one of the things that we are trying to do is we're trying to fit the Word of God around our lives instead of trying to fit our lives around God's Word. You see the difference there? There's a drastic difference between me looking at the things that I enjoy doing and looking at the things the way I would like for them to be, or the things that I would like to be able to do, or the attitudes that I would like to be able to have, and then looking into God's Word and saying, now I'm going to find a way to use this to justify my own actions or my own thoughts. There's a big difference between that and me with a compliant heart, a melted spirit, looking into God's Word and forming myself after it. May we not be people who look at God's Word as something by which we try to find the things that justify what we would like to do. But rather, may we have a respect for God's Word to a point that when we see things in our life and this says no, that we put those things away. As I begin to mature in my relationship with God, I will come to love and respect His Word. I will come to pattern myself after it. I will look at it as my guide through this life. And in all the things that I do, I will focus on it. As I come to a greater understanding of God, one of the other things that won't happen is I won't find myself using His name in vain. The name of God is a very precious thing. And one of the things that has been handed down to mankind over the course of the ages is the power of the name of God. And as we think back to the very beginning and to the creation, and we see the power of God demonstrated in the creation, and then we go down through the course of time and we see man's relationship with God and the way a lot of those things changed, one of the things that we see as God addresses His chosen people, the children of Israel, and lays out the things that they are to do and that they are to be in His sight, one of the things that He teaches them is a respect for His name. I want you to go back to Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus chapter 20, as we look at verse 7, we see the Ten Commandments laid out before us, part of the law of Moses. But I want you to read one in particular that's contained in verse 7 of Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus chapter 20, in verse 7, as God is speaking to the people, or speaking to Moses, who will then take it to the people, listen to what He says to them in verse 7 of chapter 20. He says, "You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes His name in vain." One of the things that God was establishing with the children of Israel right off the bat is the fact that you don't use my name in vain. My name is something that is to be hallowed. My name is something that is to be held in reverence and in respect. And as I come to a greater appreciation of God and a more mature relationship with God, His name will be something that is held in high esteem within my life. When I'm facing a difficult situation, the first thought that comes to my mind is not in my everyday speech to throw out the name of God. We hear it all the time. When I come to difficult situations in my life, or just thinking about relating the day's events, one of the things that does not come into my mind as I relate those events is to use the word Lord or the name Christ in vain. Those are things that are hallowed. Those are things that are important. They're significant. They're not things that we tritely throw out in our everyday speech. But I'll tell you something. If you begin listening to the language of Christians, one of the things that I'm afraid we're beginning to see is the name of God being taken very, very lightly. And I'll tell you why I think that is. It's because as we look around us, and we're at work, or we're at school, or we're watching TV, or we're reading the newspaper, or we're listening to the news, or whatever else we may do by which we gain our information or communicate with others during the course of the day, one of the things that we hear over and over again is the name of God. Lord. Christ. You hear it. I bet you hear that more today than you hear some of the most basic words in the English language. And it's because it's come to be used as a byword, basically. It's going to be used as nothing more than some kind of a slang saying. And can you imagine how God feels? He's like, created the very thing on which they walk. I'm sustaining them. I'm giving them life. What are they doing? They're taking my name and just throwing it around like it's nothing. Don't allow yourself to be caught using the name of God in vain. And as I grow in my relationship with God, and as I mature in my relationship with God, that's one of the things that will come very, very important to me is the name of God. And when I hear somebody take His name in vain, it will bother me and it will hurt me as I realize that that is something that God would not have me to do and certainly would not have others to do. And as we think about that, He points out as He writes to the, or as He speaks to the children of Israel, He says to them, the man will not be held guiltless who does this. Punishment will be rendered to those who take the name of God and throw it around like nothing. We must not take the name of our God in vain. As we mature in our relationship with God, we will come to a point where we're willing to accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God. As we come to a point where we understand what God has done for us, and we understand the relationship that we can have with Him through Jesus Christ, and we realize what Jesus Christ did in that He came to this world and He sacrificed Himself for you. He gave Himself for us, hope. He left everything that He had above and He came down to earth beneath to be rejected by men and eventually allowed Himself to be put to death by the creation. As we begin to think about that and then think about why that happened, fact that he did it so that I can come back into God's presence. He did it so that I can have a relationship with God. He did all that so that God can call me one of his children and that I can call God my Father. When I begin to think about those things and those thoughts begin to flow through my head and I begin to think about God and the sacrifice of his Son and Jesus' willingness for that to even take place, I come to a point where I'm willing to accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And as I come to a point where I accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God and realize what he did, I think about John chapter 14. I want you to turn here with me if you would. In John chapter 14, Jesus points out to his disciples that he is the way by which they can come to the Father. And certainly the same is true for us. In John chapter 14, look with me beginning in verse 6. As Thomas is asked the question, Lord, we don't know where you're going and how can we know the way and all these different things. Listen to what Jesus says to him in verse 6. Jesus says to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Jesus is speaking to Thomas, and he says to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. If I am a person, think with me about this in a logical fashion. If I am a person who says, I believe in God, and what I desire the most out of this life is to be in a relationship with God, and that is one of the thought processes that goes through my mind, then Jesus points and he says, the only way you're going to get to him is through me. It points out to us that if we expect to be in a relationship with God, and if we expect to see God and to be with him, then one of the things that will be absolutely necessary is belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. There are people sitting here who haven't done that yet. Bottom line. There may be a claim to believe in God. There may be a claim to a desire to be pleasing to God. But if we want to be pleasing to God and we want to come to God, the only way for that to happen is to go through Jesus Christ. Flip over to Acts chapter 2. You're just a few pages away. If we come to a point where we believe in God and we want to have a relationship with Him, we will accept His Son, and we will find ourselves being obedient to the things that are necessary in order for us to accept the sacrifice that was offered by His Son. In Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, the people had been brought to a point where they realized beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and they also realized they were guilty of crucifying. Not a wonderful position to be in. And as they hear these things, their call is, what shall we do? Peter responds to that. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He tells them what to do. Do you believe in God? Do you want to have a relationship with God? Yes. The only way to have that is through Jesus Christ and being obedient to the things that we must do in order to take advantage of the sacrifice that has been offered. Peter told them to repent and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what they did. And if I desire to be in a relationship with God, and if I believe in God, and I believe that I can be in a relationship with Him, it will be absolutely necessary for me to do that through Jesus Christ. You cannot claim to believe in God. You cannot claim to be maturing in your relationship with God if you have not accepted Jesus Christ. The two things go hand in hand. And one of the steps that we must come to is the step by which we say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and whatever I'm called on to do in order to confess that, I will do it. And look back to Acts chapter 2 and we see exactly what we must do. We see exactly what those people did, and we see that the same process will work today. As we mature in our relationship with God, we will realize that in order to be pleasing to Him, we must accept His Son the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and repent of our sins and confess our faith in Jesus as His Son and be baptized so that those sins can be washed away. That's one of the basics of Christianity. It's one of the basics of being in a relationship with the God of heaven. There's one more stepping stone that I want to discuss with you this morning, and then we'll conclude our lesson. As we mature in our relationship with God, we will come to a greater and greater desire to be with Him forever. This life has a lot of attraction to us because we're physical beings. We enjoy the things that life has to offer, and we find ourselves many times caught up in those things, and we find ourselves working very hard for those things. But as we come to mature in our relationship with God, I would suggest to you that one of the things that begins to happen is we begin to long more and more for the time where we will be with Him forever. As we begin to mature in our relationship with God, suddenly the things of this life begin to decrease in importance, and our relationship with Him and the possibility of spending eternity with Him begins to grow and grow and grow. That's a level of maturity I don't believe I've reached yet. But it's a stepping stone that I hope I will attain to someday. Because one of the things that we must come to as we consider our lives here is we must come to a burning desire to depart and to be with Him. When we begin to think about our greatest longing should be heaven. Our greatest desire should be doing the things that are necessary here so that when this life is over, I will be able to go and to be with Him. And as I think about this life, there's nothing wrong with enjoying the things of this life that God has provided for us and enjoying the relationships in this life that God has provided for us. But deep within my heart, there should always be the desire and the longing to go and to be with God. Last Sunday morning, we talked some about heaven. And when that lesson was over, I was talking with one of the guys and he said, "I want to go." He's right. We should want to go. And it's not one of those things where we think, well, I would kind of like to go 50 years from now. That would be a good time. I should be preparing every day in every way that I possibly can so that if today is the time when I'm having to go, that I'm ready and I'm prepared. I want you to turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. In Philippians chapter 1, we see the Apostle Paul as he expresses to the church of Philippi a struggle that is going on within himself. And I want you to begin reading with me, if you would, at verse 19. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. Think about this and see if there is any way that you could pin the same word if you were writing to some group of people or some person that you care about very deeply. And you write these words with it. Think about this. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. Paul is where I know he's looking back. I think he's expressed a conflict within himself, or the situation is in hands in jail. He doesn't know how the trial is about to turn out. And he's writing his concerns here to the church of Philippi. He says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death or by day. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor, yet what I shall gain, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you, and being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ, by my heavenly Jesus." Can you imagine picturing life with that kind of a mindset? You look at a situation that is at hand, and you don't know whether you're going to live or die, but you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know, it would be better for me just to go off. It would be far better for me just to go out and be with Christ. What a wonderful thing that would be. And yet, you know, there are people here who mean it. There are people who mean it. They also know that they're growing in Jesus Christ, and there's some benefit that I can do there. And while deep in my heart, I'd rather go on. And all promise me. And whether I live or die, Christ will be my focus. The goal will be far better. You will live our lives with that kind of magnitude. Now, if we keep that step
in our relationship with God, that we feel so close to Him and we feel so tied to Him, we look at this and we say, I would rather be there than I would be here. In reality, that's where we need to be. That is the point in life in which we need to come. But we're looking at what's beyond and we say, I will be here. Whatever I have to do in this life, I will be here. Without a question, come to you. Where are you in those steps? You believe that there's a God? Maybe something here as well. And if you don't, maybe that there's work that needs to be done. You just come to that very grace of grace. The gospel that we're talking about, I believe that most people do it, if not all, believe there is a God. If you believe that there's a God, that call on you to react to things you told us. It calls on you to respect His Word, to study His Word, to allow His Word to guide you. It calls on you to have a respect for His name. As you realize His power, it calls on you to accept His Son. It calls on you to come to the point in your life where you long to be with Him. Where you know what you need to do to be saved. We talked about that earlier. Right? If it's time for you to do that. And if you come to the point in your relationship with God where you're ready to step forward and give the complete obedience to Him, the best being baptized for the beginning of this is all the built up right when you stand.